morning, Your Honors. I'd like to introduce myself to you again. My name is David Jasinski, and I represent the petitioners in this proceeding. The appropriate place from the petitioner's perspective to start is the initial administrative law proceeding in this matter. And in that particular case, the general counsel attempted to add multiple parties to that particular proceeding. Administrative law Judge Fish decided at that time that the record was incomplete, that he couldn't make a determination with regards to adding those multiple parties.
Are you talking about the compliance proceeding or the original case?
The original case, Your Honor.
Which you defaulted on in the Third Circuit.
From our perspective, that particular matter was not complete. And it was not complete from the perspective...
Counsel, I don't understand. It's perfectly clear you can't raise any issue that was precluded by the Third Circuit, right?
Well, in Scepter, Judge Ginsburg gave the parties, said under ordinary circumstances, Your Honor, you're correct. But for our particular position, this is not an ordinary circumstance because what Judge Fish did, the board adopted, and the Third Circuit had no knowledge of, was that they left open the issue as to the parties.
As
we sit here today.
As to what?
As to the parties. As we sit here today, there is not a final order as it relates to at least two of the parties, that being New Community Corp and that being New Community Healthcare Corp. So from our particular position, it's this tribunal to make the determination with regards to what exactly, whether or not, and in this particular case, whether or not that there was a statutory issue as to the vagueness and the confusion in the original ALJ decision and board decision, where they found that the discharges were appropriate, that the discharges were not in violation of the Act.
You could have litigated that in Third Circuit, right?
It's our position, Your Honor, that...
Answer the question, counsel. You could have litigated that in the Third Circuit, right?
Well, of course we could have. But from our perspective, where we're standing here right now...
Isn't it sort of black-letter law that any issue you could have litigated in the Third Circuit is gone now?
We're submitting that this is not an ordinary circumstance, Judge.
It's not ordinary for what reason?
Because that there were other parties. It wasn't a final order, that there were other parties that were... that the general counsel, for whatever reason, wanted to add. And, in fact, they did add at the proceeding that was before the second...
When were they first added?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
When were they first added?
They were first added at the time of the compliance hearing before Judge Lando, after the Third Circuit.
After the Third Circuit
made a determination.
Well, why don't you start there rather than starting with something that happened before the Third Circuit precluded?
The ALJ in its decision disregarded the statutory requirements, and that being that in the original decision, the board found that the discharges were lawful.
Wait a minute. I don't understand. You're talking about the ALJ's initial opinion.
No, I'm not, Your Honor. I'm going
you're
to...
You're talking about the compliance proceeding?
I am, Your
okay.
Honor.
Okay. Now, okay. Make clear what you're talking about.
I am, Your Honor. And in the compliance hearing, Judge Landau disregarded the statutory requirements, and that being that you cannot award damages to anyone who was lawfully terminated. The board found...
So you're moving off of the question of parties now and onto the actual award?
I am,
is that what? Okay.
I am. And Judge
Landau... That's an issue that certainly was precluded in the Third Circuit, isn't it?
Our position is that the ALJ has an obligation to follow the statute.
Which ALJ? The second ALJ?
Yes, Your Honor, the second.
But I'm still on the point, is the issue that you've just raised, it was precluded by the Third Circuit. Why is that not precluded? Whether or not the employees were fired for cause or not.
I'm not litigating that, Your Honor. Under Section 160C of the Act, it precludes individuals from being awarded damages if the board found the discharge to be lawful. And in this particular case, they did. The
discharge was lawful. The transfer was
right.
Not.
That's right.
Is the issue before us whether there will be back pay or how much back pay or what is the unprecluded issue that's before us?
The issue before you is whether or not the discriminatees are entitled to any back pay.
The original board decision, the 2004 decision, affirmed by the Third Circuit, mm-hmm. explicitly said that they were. So I don't understand what you're doing with us.
With regards to Judge Landau's decision, Judge Landau decided that Section 160C of the Act didn't apply and went right to the issue of mitigation, whether or not that there was mitigation. It's our position.
In other words, he took serious, if I understand you correctly, mm-hmm. you're saying that the ALJ in the compliance hearing took seriously the finding of the board, affirmed by the Third Circuit, that the nurses were entitled to back pay. Is that right?
That was it. That was her decision. That is correct, Judge.
So what's wrong with that?
We respectfully disagree with the ALJ's
decision. But your chance to disagree with that was in the Third Circuit.
I understand that, and our position was that there wasn't a final order. I'll go on to the mitigation if I can.
That may be the most clearly before us of anything that's in your brief.
And also, Judge Santel, it's also clear in the record that there was no mitigation in this particular case. You had four individuals who were registered nurses. They were licensed professionals. That under the collective bargaining agreement, that was the issue here. There was only registered nurses. There weren't utilization management nurses. What the individuals did in this particular case was that they limited the scope of their job search to that of a UM nurse, not that of any other nurse. And under
what's our standard of review?
The standard of review is to determine, based on the record, whether or not that there had been substantial compliance with regards to the
applying what standard of review?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Applying what standard of review to make that decision? You told me what decision we need to make.
Right.
I'm asking you what standard of review applies to the making of that decision.
Whether or not the ALJ exceeded her authority in this matter, and whether or not the board
applying what standard of review?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Is this a deference question?
Yes, Judge.
Okay, thank you.
Now, how about another question? Why were these nurses discharged?
They were discharged because of their refusal to cooperate and their attitude.
Well, I thought it was because they weren't suitable because they had been limited to the administrative tasks, so they were no longer suitable for broad nursing duties.
That's not what the NLRB found, Ron. The NLRB found.
Wasn't that the employer's position? Wasn't that the employer's position?
The employer's position was that they did not show cooperation.
Wasn't the employer's position, am I not correct? The employer's position was that they weren't suitable for general nursing? In which case, if that was true, then isn't your present position contradictory?
No, it's not.
And wouldn't you have run in violation of what Judge Edwards referred to as the chutzpah doctrine?
Funny, you don't look Jewish.
I don't have chutzpah, Judge. No. And the board found that there was a contemptuous attitude on their part, that they weren't willing to cooperate, that they weren't willing to take the test. You had registered.
The underlying problem was they didn't want to do they didn't think they were any more suitable anymore for regular nursing. They had been administrative nurses for a long time. And the company said, hey, wait a minute, this is you're qualified, you should be doing regular nursing, right? And that was a dispute, and they were let go over that. Now you're saying that they should be charged with looking for regular nursing jobs, which is contradictory to the company's position initially.
I don't agree that.
With part of that, don't
that,
you agree?
I don't agree that's contradictory because they were licensed professionals. The standard that.
But the company's position was that notwithstanding their licensing, they were not suitable for regular nursing.
The position that these four individuals took, that the only job that they could apply for was a UM nurse. That was the only one that they were.
But as I understand it, in the compliance proceeding, your position was that they should have been seeking the kind of jobs for which you previously said they were unsuitable. Right?
No.
No?
That's a two-syllable no.
Most of ours are where I come from.
it comes down to, from our perspective, these were individuals that only wanted the cushy job of doing a UM position. That was the only thing they wanted to do. And if you and the record is complete with regards.
So that reminds me of judges who probably are no longer suitable to act as appellate lawyers.
So I stand here with the criteria, that being of their experience, their qualifications, their background, and the job market. There was a 19% job availability in this particular marketplace in 2001. Employers were paying bonuses for nurses to come to work. The job market, Judge Williams, has since changed since 2001, but back then there was a 19% void for registered nurses. The submissions that they made in this particular matter, in the case of Ms. Servino, she stopped looking for any work after December. And even before then, she only put two resumes in, or two applications for available positions. That's not an attempt in terms of looking for any type of substantial employment. Even if you're right with regards to the UM, they didn't look for other work. In terms of Ms. Jones, she went to school. She stopped looking. In terms of
Ms.
Shepherds,
school enhance her ability to get other jobs, a broader range of jobs?
The position with regards to the NLRB is that if you look for other work, if you go to school and you remove yourself from the workplace, you have forfeited the right in terms of collecting back pay during that period of time. And that applied not only to Ms. Jones, but it also applied to the Ms. Lambert as well. And in their particular cases that they... There's no evidence that they...
Just out of curiosity, counsel, if you prevail with respect to the back pay issue alone, how much money is at stake?
I haven't done the...
There was 87,000?
Well, the total liability back in 2001, I think, was $81,000, Judge Sintel. But since then, with regards to the interest, it would be probably substantially.
You're looking. You don't know the post-interest figure,
not.
But it was 80-some thousand before interest started accruing.
I think that is correct. That's right, Your Honor. So if you look at these individuals, where they there's no record that they looked for other work. That the evidence that's been submitted in this matter demonstrates that there was no attempt. And with regards to the 19%,
so is your argument going back to Judge Sintel's question? Is your argument that the board was arbitrary and capricious, or there wasn't substantial evidence? Which is your argument?
There clearly was not substantial evidence to support the decision of the administrative law judge.
Well, that all depends on. Sort of a quasi-legal question as to what they were obliged to look for, right?
Our position, Judge Silberman, is that they did not look, they did not act reasonably, they did not
so
look
it's basically an arbitrary and capricious argument. So it's a question of whether the agency's action position was reasonable in saying the nurses were not obliged to look for a regular nursing job, but only administrative nursing jobs. That's the key issue, isn't it?
I believe that's one of
that's
their argument.
That's the key issue, isn't it?
That's their argument.
And
yes.
Your argument has to be that's an unreasonable position on the part of the NLRB, and therefore it's arbitrary and capricious.
Unreasonable from the standpoint that you look at the individuals. All of them served as staff nurses, more so than they served as this quote unquote administrative.
Not in recent years.
In one case, it was 6 years. So when you look at it, they spent more time being staff nurses than they did UM. I understand that they probably didn't want to do the staff nurse. I understand that's the case. But when you look at the facts,
original opinion, look at page 50 of the JA footnote 29 quotes the management position as having been in a letter of discharge to the nurses that said, quote, after several weeks of training, it is obvious that you are not qualified to perform the duties and responsibilities of a field nurse.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
It's quoting from your client's position in termination.
I am familiar.
That's what I call the chutzpah.
Yeah,
I didn't write the letter, though.
Good.
You're to be congratulated.
I'm familiar with that particular. But still saying that, Your Honor, the board found that it was their attitude that was the reason for the determination.
Yeah, we have talked you through your time. If necessary, we'll give you back a couple of minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Unless my colleagues have further questions. Thank you, counsel. We'll hear from the respondent.
Good morning, Your Honor. It's Barbara Sheehy for the National Labor Relations Board. I only have a couple of points I think I'm going to make, and then otherwise I think we'll just rely on our brief. I do want to correct a couple of factual misstatements, however. If the court looks at appendix page 12, the board actually found, and this is in the joint appendix, board specifically found in the underlying unfair labor practice that the record establishes that the respondent discharged the UMs because of serious performance deficiencies. So the finding by the board, supported by the termination letter by the company, was serious performance deficiencies, not that they wanted to stay in some cush job. Then I wanted to correct, again, we're going to rely principally on what's in the brief as it relates to the substantial evidence, but there's substantial evidence, needless to say, there's substantial evidence in the record that these nurses sought positions. For instance, the assertion here that Sheppers stopped looking in December, that's because she found a job in December. She was entitled to back pay until she was able to encumber that job, though, which came about in February because she had pre-hire requirements. So she did stop looking in December because she found a job. As it relates to Savino, I think he alleged that Savino looked for no jobs. In the record, pointing to appendix page 132 of the joint appendix, it lists at least seven employers, and then on pages 73 to 76 of her testimony, also in the joint appendix, she testified that was credited by the ALJ, that she sought much more employment than what she listed in her papers filed with the board. As the allegation that they only sought licensed nursing positions, there's Nurse Jones, who testified, again, credibly, that she sought positions as a home care planning coordinator, as a nursing agency intake officer, as a quality assurance medical records individual, as a home care discharge planner, a quality assurance manager, a UM nurse with hospitals, universities, rehabilitation centers. She sought positions with pharmaceutical companies and insurance companies. And that then also, just one last point, on the assertion that I think it was Jones and Nurse Lambert that they went back to school. That's actually an incorrect characterization of what they did. They both took computer classes offered through the unemployment agency and it was paid for and arranged by the unemployment office. And the reason for that was because it would make them more marketable in the kinds of positions that they were qualified to perform, which were principally administrative. Unless the court has any questions on the parties added, what's that?
It's precluded, but I am a little confused about the rationale for the award of back pay.
Sure.
Where the discharge was held to be not an unfair labor practice. I'm not sure how you compute back pay when you don't have causation.
I understand the confusion on that, and I'm glad the court recognizes that the Third Circuit has sort of spoken definitively on that issue.
You're glad that's pretty clear.
I'm quite pleased that the Third Circuit has weighed in on that. I will say there is some discussion by the administrative law judge in the underlying proceeding, and then also by the board, as to why the operative date, obviously the board did something different than what the ALJ did, why the operative date for cutting off the liability was March 14th. But it's right, the board did find that there was no causal relationship between the unilateral transfer and the discharge. True, they unconnected those two. But I think the way to look at it is the employer, so the unilateral action that was the violation was the transfer. And that occurred on August 12th. So that's when your back pay liability is triggered, because that's at the point they lost their right to the UM position. And then when the back pay gets cut off is when the employer was lawfully privileged to take the unlawful action that resulted in a lawful discharge. So you have sort of this.
Sorry, run that by. Privilege to take the unlawful action that resulted in the unlawful discharge.
No, privilege to take the law. I'm sorry, I misspoke. Privilege to take the lawful action of the transfer. The collective bargaining agreement of March 2002 unilaterally gave the right to the employer to transfer employees. So you had an intervening event.
Previously been an unlawful.
Absolutely.
transfer became a lawful transfer at the time of the new CBA.
Right. So both the board and the ALJ, in different respects, recognize that as of March 12, the execution date of the collective bargaining agreement, things, I think the ALJ says they became murky, and then the board, I think, says something else.
That doesn't exactly solve the problem between August 13 and March, whatever
right.
it is.
Sure. Whether it could have been more artfully done, I'm not going to speak to that. I think we'll rely on the fact that the Third Circuit hasn't...
I'll rely on preclusion.
I think I'll stand on preclusion.
Artfully, you mean with less self-contradiction.
So unless the court has any other questions on the...
Thank you, counsel. Do you need rebuttal, counsel? Thank you. The case is submitted.